So in Mark chapter 15, in verse 33 through 39, I wanted to take a look at kind of the last part of his life before he passed away and the sacrifice was complete. It says, at noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of those standing near heard this, they said, listen, he's calling Elijah. Someone ran and filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and it offered it to Jesus to drink. Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down, he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, surely this man was the Son of God. Although the Romans did not invent crucifixion, they perfected it as a form of torture and of capital punishment that was designed to produce a slow death with maximum pain and suffering. The victim's back was first torn open by the scourging. Then the clotting blood was ripped open again when the clothes were torn off the victim. When he was thrown to the ground to fix his hands to the crossbeam, the wounds were again torn open again and contaminated with dirt. Then, as he hung on the cross, each breath made the painful wounds on the back scrape against the rough wood of the upright beam. When the nail was driven through the wrist, it severed the large median nerve going to the hand. This stimulated nerve produced excruciating bolts of fiery pain in both arms and could result in a claw-like grip in the victim's hands. Beyond the excruciating pain, crucifixion made it painful to simply to breathe. The weight of the body pulled down on the arms and shoulders made it feel like you could breathe in, but not out. The lack of oxygen led to severe muscle cramps, which made it even harder to breathe. To get a good breath, one had to push against the feet and flex the elbows, pulling from the shoulders, putting the weight of the body on the nail-pierced feet, which produced searing pain, and the flexing of the elbows twisted the hands hanging on the nails. Lifting the body for a breath also scraped the open wounds on the back again against the rough wooden post. Each effort to get a proper breath was agonizing, exhausting, and it led to a quicker death. Death from crucifixion could come from many different ways. Acute shock from blood loss, suffocation from being too exhausted to breathe, can't push up, so they can't get the air in or out. Dehydration, heart attack induced by stress, heart rupture from congestive heart failure. However, if the victim did not die quickly enough, their legs were broken, and he was soon unable to breathe. If you remember in the story of Jesus, the fact that he was on the cross, they did not have to break his legs because he had already died. They did run the spear up into him, but he did not have to have that experience. How bad was crucifixion? We get our English word excruciating from the Roman word out of the cross. Consider how heinous sin must be in the sight of God when it requires such a sacrifice. So Jesus had been mocked, he had been blasphemed, he had been beaten. He's on the cross, 12 o'clock in the noon, all of a sudden it goes black. And it said that there was darkness over the whole land for 3 hours. So from 12 o'clock in the afternoon until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Darkness over the whole land. It was interesting. I read there was a Roman historian named Phlegon, and he said that there was an eclipse of the sun that turned on a specific day and at the same time that turned into dark night so that the stars in the heaven were seen and there was an earthquake. So that was pretty interesting that a Roman historian counted the fact that in fact did take place. So he's on the cross, and there are a few words that he says on the cross that we're going to look at tonight. If you go throughout Scripture, there are several things that he says, but at this point, he says the first set of words, my God, why have you forsaken me? My God, why have you forsaken me? Psalm 22, this was a fulfillment of that passage from Psalm 22 that brought about agony and victory to us. And then he said, it is finished. Jesus cried in a loud voice, and he breathed his last. The Greek word for this is tetelestai, and it means paid in full. Paid in full. Jesus paid in full our debt of sin. And there used to be a song we used to sing in the old days. I guess I am from the old days sometimes. He paid a debt I did not, I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to take my debt away. I'm not doing very well. He paid a debt I did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. So there's a song, and it was a good song. It's better than what I just did to it. But it talked about the fact that Jesus paid a debt that he didn't even owe that debt. But he took that sin upon himself for our benefit. He paid in full our debt of sin. Jesus, who knew great pain and suffering, physical and emotional pain and suffering. If you think about the garden, if you think about what he went through before he made his way to the cross, he endured some very serious things. But he had never known separation from the Father. He had never known separation from the Father. And now he does. My God, why have you forsaken me? God the Father had to turn his back on what Jesus Christ, his Son, the Father, the Father, God the Son was doing for him. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. And then he died. He said, it is finished, and he died. Isaiah 53, verse 3 through 6 talks about the fact that he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. He took that upon himself for us all. Truly, this was the Son of God. Talked about the fact that when he died, something happened in the temple, that there was a veil or a curtain, and this curtain or veil was torn from the top all the way down to the bottom. The veil was 60 feet high. That's pretty tall. Taller than all our houses. It was 60 feet high, and it was 4 inches thick. So I can't do it with my fingers. I'll drop something. But you know how they do the fish? I caught a fish this big. But 4 inches thick, pretty thick. And it divided the holy place from the most holy place in the temple. So in the temple, those two sections were divided by that veil. And that veil separated man from God. Man dwelt on the outer side in the holy place, but in the most holy place, that's where God's presence dwelt. Once a year, the high priest would slip through the veil to make atonement for the sins of all Israel. He had to purify himself. We've talked about that in Bible studies. We've been studying Hebrews. We talked about how the high priest had a little rope. He had bells on the bottom of his outfit. And then they would tie a rope around his legs so that when he would go in to the presence of God, if there was any sin in him, then he would die and they would have to pull him out. They would hear the bell stop ringing and they would know that he didn't fare so well and they would pull him out. So once a year, everybody's sins were covered by the blood of animals, and that was atoning for the sins of all of Israel. But the veil was torn from the top, 60 feet tall. So it wasn't like somebody climbed up there and tore it open for us. It was an act of God alone. It was God's way of granting access to him. Before, there was separation. There was a veil there. No one could go into the presence of God, or they would die. But that barrier between God and man was removed. With Jesus' sacrifice, our separation from God could come to an end. We now have access to the Father. Each one of us, we have access to God the Father because of that fact. The old covenant was being removed, and a new covenant was coming into being. Now, access to the Holy of Holies is open to all believers. To all believers. The separating sin was removed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Sin separates us from God. And that the blood of Jesus, when his blood was shed, when he died for us, then that blood removed that sin. It covered that sin so that when God the Father looks down, he doesn't see our sin, but he sees the blood of Jesus Christ and what Jesus has done for him. So sometimes people feel separated from God. Have you ever met anyone that feels like they're separated from God? Maybe you have felt that, and there have been times where I have felt that I am, you know, that there's something there that I can't break through. Sometimes people feel left out. Sometimes we don't feel good enough, smart enough, pretty enough, handsome enough. Sometimes we feel like we've messed up so much that God won't listen to us anymore. Sometimes we feel like hearing from God or communicating with God was something that other people, better people, did, but not us. But when Jesus Christ died on the, when he died on the cross, and our sins were taken care of, then we were granted access to the Father. And you have near you, hopefully everybody has one. I tried to make sure. It has two cuts because cloth has to go by the way of the way it works. And I found that I did not determine that be ahead of time. So there are two cuts to make sure. But I want us to as a symbol of what Jesus Christ has done for us, and the fact that he has granted that access to the Father that we did not have. I want us to symbolize that by tearing the cloth and revealing the fact that, yes, we now have access to the Father. So it takes two hands, so I'm going to set the mic down. So we could just do it together if you want, or... Yeah, some of them are turned the wrong. If they're turned the wrong way, it makes it a little harder to do. See, if we can't even get it ourselves, you know that it wasn't man that climbed 60 feet up and tore it apart. But as I dwelt upon the fact that. Before we did not have that access to God, we couldn't get there. And now, because of what Jesus Christ sacrificed was for us, that veil was torn into, and we have the opportunity to come into His presence. Amen. Amen. And if you will allow, I would like to have you join me in standing and sing together one of the great hymns of the church, The Old Rugged Cross. Yeah, you don't have to if you don't. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, the old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left His glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Father, we thank you for the old rugged cross. We thank you for the fact that Jesus Christ hung on that cross and he died for our sins. And he cleansed us. He brought new life. He brought life eternal into our bodies, into our souls, that we might be able to spend eternity with him. As we just sang, then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. We are looking forward to that day when you will call us, when that trumpet call will take place and you'll descend and we'll rise to meet you in the air, and so shall we ever be with you. We look forward to that day. Till that time comes, Father, it's our desire to be true to the rugged cross. We give you thanks, Father, for your love and your care, and for your purchase price for our salvation. If you have a need in your life tonight and you would like prayer, Pastor Al and Barb, Sandra and I would be willing to pray for you. If you would like to receive prayer, we would be glad to do that. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, if you have never said, Jesus, I want you to come into my heart. I want you to come in and cleanse me. You could do that tonight as well. So if you have a prayer request, make your way down. If not, if you want to linger just and pray, then that's fine. And